This series is called On a Mission. Being a part of something greater than ourselves. How many know that God has called us to be on a mission? That, come on now. God has called us to be greater than we have ever known ourselves to be before. If you're here underneath the umbrella of this message, it's because this message is for you. Amen. If God is going to speak it, he's going to get the people in the room that needs to hear it. Amen. So that means, ladies and gentlemen, this message was designed with you in mind, that God is looking for you to do something greater than you have ever done before. There are two basic truths I want you to write down. Number one, write this down, please. This is a truth that I want you to write down. Whatever God wants to do in the world today, he wants it to do it through all of his people. Whatever God wants to do in the world today, he wants to do it through all of his people. I want you to point at somebody and say, he's talking about you. Come on, no, you got to put that finger out there. He's talking about you. God is only going to move through you in this room. He wants to use you to do something in the earth. How do I know this? Go to Acts 17 and 26, and I'll prove it to you. I want to tell you that God knew you would be here today. God knew where you would be sitting and what seat and who you'd be sitting next to. Let's read this verse together, verse 26. Let's read. Let's try that again. Let's read. That one man is Adam. Read.
He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries.
God determined your boundaries. He knew where you would live, even in little old Lee. How many people from Leesburg? Let me see your hand up. Amen. How many people from Eustace? Let me see your hands up. And how many people from Umatilla? Umatilla. Yeah, look, one or two of y'all. Amen. How many from Okahunka? How many from Okahunka? Nobody. Praise the Lord. How many from Wildwood? Call the police. Amen. 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 Here's the thing: we've got to know that God puts you in a particular place at a particular time with an opportunity and a responsibility to serve a particular people. It was not an accident. Every one of us in this room has an opportunity and a responsibility to be on a mission that is bigger than ourselves. Amen. How many of you have kids in this room? Let me say to you unequivocally, those kids do not belong to you.
Amen.
Let me say again, those children do not belong to you, they belong to the Lord. And God used you as the vehicle to bring them into the world, but you must give them to the Lord. Amen. For God birthed them here to do a particular thing at a particular time for a particular people. They belong to him, and if you let them go, he'll let them live like they're supposed to live. Amen. But if you hold on to them and say, God, I want to do what I want to do with their lives, they won't reach their destiny. You've got to say, Lord, I give my son and my daughter to you that you may use them for your glory. Amen. How many know that sometimes our children have to go down before they go up? Amen. This is the month of March. You know, this is the month you see the three-leaf clover. This is St. Patrick's Day. How many know or ever seen a green leprechaun? Anybody? Anybody? I haven't seen one either. And if you did, we can talk after church. But this is St. Patrick's Day month, and it celebrates St. Patrick. But a lot of people don't know who St. Patrick is. I think that's a fan. Yeah, I thought somebody was rolling dice over there or something like that. Most people don't know the story of St. Patrick. St. Patrick was a young boy who was living in Britain, and he was 16 years old. And St. Patrick was the victim of slave traders. They grabbed him from his home and they took him to the land of Ireland. And when he landed in Ireland, he was a slave in Ireland. Black people aren't the only ones who were slaves. Come on, somebody. He took them and he took him and put him as a slave for many, many years. And one day, St. Patrick found and prayed every day because of what he was going through and said, God, if you get me out of here, I'll serve you all the days of my life. And he says, God, all I need is a boat. And it came up, a man had a boat, was leaving the land. He begged the man said no. But finally he went, St. Patrick went somewhere and prayed. After he prayed, he went back to the man and the man said, get on the boat. And he was able to go back to Britain. But when he got back to Britain, he kept his word. He began to seek the Lord and began to ask God, you can use me any way you want. And God said to him, go back. He says, go back to the ones that had me enslaved. Go back, Patrick. Go back. And St. Patrick went back to Ireland and he began walking the streets of all these people who believed in animals and multiple gods. And he went back as a missionary. It was bigger than him. His suffering was only temporary because he was doing something bigger than himself. And when he tried to describe who God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost was, the only thing he could find was when he walked across the land of Ireland, that down on the ground was a three-leaf clover. And he witnessed that there was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost through the land of Ireland and won over 12,000 people to Jesus through the three-leaf clover. The man planted over 300 churches. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to say the pain you've been through or you're going through isn't preventing you, it's promoting you. God needs people who are seasoned through pain because he knows you'll have a heart to go back and help somebody. But here's God's promise to you. He will use everything you've been through for the mission that you've been called to do. I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And God promises you that there's no pain he will let go to waste. Everything you suffer, everything you've been through, every hurt you have, he is going to use to bless somebody else. God, why did this happen to me? God, this is too much for me to bear. No, it's not. I'll never put anything on you that you cannot bear. So why is it on me? Because I need you to use it to help somebody get through. Here's what he says in 1 Peter. He says these words, in his kindness. Somebody say, in his kindness. God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. In his kindness, he decided to bring you in to Christ's suffering so that after you have what? Suffered a little while. How many? Everybody say a little while.
A little while.
That means suffering doesn't last always. There is a time where it ends. Ladies and gentlemen, you may be going through grief right now and wondering, God, when is it going to end? Let me promise you, it will end. It's only for a little while. And he says, after you have suffered for a little while, here's what he will do for your life. He will restore. He will support. And he will strengthen you. And he will place you on a firm foundation. God won't let anything you go through keep you from where you're supposed to be. We are on a mission, but he never told us what we went through would be easy. But it may be a part of your training. And after a while, he'll restore everything you think you lost. I need you to understand that God knew the circumstances of St. Patrick, and he used them for his glory. There was something bigger than himself that God wanted to do. He was there on a mission My question to you is, why are you here? What does God have you on a mission? Are you willing to go regardless of the cost, to go on a mission for God? Here's what God planned for your life. You may think, man, it just seems like everything's going bad. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2 and 10. And I want to prove to you again what God said concerning your life. Ephesians 2 and 10. Amen. Ephesians 2 and 10. It says, for we are what? That means he's carving everything into your life. There's not one chip that fell off that he didn't mean for it to fall off. You are God's what? Masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God's plan for you is good. God has a plan for your life. It's a mission that's bigger than you. And the question is, when you leave today, will you tell God, you can send me on a mission that's bigger than me? What does that mean when you say bigger than me? It's bigger than what you thought. It's bigger than what you think you can do. But if you only saw what God had in store for you, you might be scared. But God's calling everybody in this building on a mission. What we got to do, first of all, I know as this church, I said it and it's bigger than me, that we're going to build the largest multicultural church that reaches the lost, serves our community, and experiences the presence of God together in unity. That's bigger than me. But I know I'm called to that mission and it's going to come to pass. Ladies and gentlemen, so are you. If you're here, God is only going to do his work for the people in this room. Whatever, write this down, please. Whatever God wants to do in the world today, he wants to do it through leaders who view equipping people for his mission a priority. He wants to do it through leaders that view what we're doing as a priority. I want to prove it to you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. If you have it in your Bibles, say amen, please. Amen. Let's try that again. Say amen, please.
Amen.
All right. Would you read it for me? Is it on the screen? Go. Read. Now, here's my responsibility, verse 12. It is my responsibility to equip you to do God's work and to build up the church. Ladies and gentlemen, my job is to help you reach your full potential. My job is to remind you that you're on a mission bigger than yourselves. We are moving towards April the 3rd, and we said to everyone, listen, I want you to bring your best gift to the altar by April the 3rd. I want you to pray with your family and don't doubt, but God's using you to help build up the church. Because where we're going, we want to build a multi-level facility where we can call people from around the world and we can feed the hungry and we can train children and adults how to witness and bring forth the kingdom of God in this world. We want a facility where first service and second service and third service can worship together, that we can be in one place reaching the entire city. Everywhere around us, we want to send out people to reach other people. You are those people to make that happen, to build up the church and to reach your full potential. Ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you, talk with your family about, God, what can we do to help build up this local expression for your kingdom? In the word, it says that God has your work in store for you. There is a work for you to do in this earth. Now, there's two questions that all of us wrestle with, and we're going to deal with that this morning. Two challenges of our lives. Write this down. Two challenges of our lives. Do we have those? You don't have them? All right. Well, two challenges of our life. Write these down, please. Number one, first challenge of our life is to find ourselves. To find ourselves. That's the first challenge. The second challenge of our life is to lose ourselves. Did you hear what I just said? The first challenge is to find ourselves, and then the second challenge is to lose ourselves. You know, this is an incredible verse I want to read to you. It's going to be coming from Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And it's something that Jesus said, something that Jesus spoke to all of us. And I'll read it for you while they're getting the things ready on the screen. Here it says in verse 34, then calling the crowd, everybody say, I'm the crowd, to join his disciples. Do you see? God is not asking you to stay on the fringe of the church, that you just come every now and then. No, God is saying, I need you to come from the fringe and be faithful and join the disciples. God doesn't want you to come to church and say, I got my dose of Jesus Christ. He wants you to become a disciple, learning, developing, growing, knowing the word so that you can speak it to other people. God has you on a mission that's bigger than you. You can't just play church. You must be church. I'm calling you to a greater work. I'm calling you forward. Come out of the areas of the shade and come into the light. Become a disciple. Read your word. Walk along somebody else. Be in fellowship and watch what God will do with your mission. Ladies and gentlemen, God spoke in chapter 8 of verse 34, and he says, then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you want to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow me. It's not just for the disciples. It's for the crowd. He said, these guys you see working every day, but they have the same standard you got. You must take up your cross. Release yourself. I ain't selfish, Pastor. You know, I come and I try to do what I can. No. Jesus spoke to a crowd and said, if you're still in the crowd, you're still selfish. Did you hear what I just said? If you're still in the crowd, you're still selfish because you're holding back what you have. The body can only grow when every part is working. And if you're sitting on the sideline saying, I'm tired, I've done what I was supposed to do, that's selfish. Come out of the crowd. Look what he says here. He says in verse 35, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. Well, you know, I don't want to get caught up in church all the time. I think church, you know, everybody always at the church. I don't want to blah, 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 blah. I don't want to keep giving because every time I give, they're going to want some more. I don't want to ride them to church because if I ride them to church, they're going to call me next weekend. If you seek to save your life, you will lose it. This is the greatest warning I can give you. You want to have your me time? If you ever said, how many ever said that before? Raise your hand. I need my me time. Selfish! I just wanted to yell. That's all. Look what he says. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for, not just to give it up, but if you give it up for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. What are you saving? What you don't know that your mission is. Some of us don't know we're bigger than what we're doing right now, and it's a bigger mission, and God wants you to say what you're supposed to be. Look what he goes in verse 36. And what you do, you benefit if you gain. Oh, here we go. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world? Wow. You got all your free time you want. When was the last time you gave it up for God? You got it. You got your money. Your bank account is busting. Man, you got your IRA, your 401k, your ABCs. But the church house can't grow and it's packed out and we got kids on top of kids, but you won't give what God gave you because you're afraid. Lose your life for a second and you will find what God has for your life. The Bible goes on to say, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Is there anything worth more than your soul? Now, you know, that's a tough statement. And here's what God says. He has you on a mission, but you got to understand what is required to be on a mission that's bigger than you. You can't be afraid, and you can't be ashamed of him. You can't go to your job and hide who you are. You can't go out and hide who you are. Well, I'm just trying to fit in. To what? If God called you out, why are you trying to fit in? Did y'all hear what I just said? If God called you out, why are you trying to fit in? Here's what Jesus said. If anyone is ashamed of me, praise the Lord, brother. If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in this adulterous of sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of the person when he returns in glory of the Father and with the holy angels. We can't be ashamed of what Jesus is doing in this world. We got to be on board with it. You got to be all in. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to be all in. Tell your neighbor, jump in. You will never find your life until you jump in. Now, how do I know that? I went out on, I took a break and I went to Oregon. And I went down and I decided to go down the Oregon Trail and go whitewater rafting. Anybody been whitewater rafting before? Amen. And I was in there with a boat with a whole bunch of crazy people. And everyone asked what you did. I said, well, I'm a preacher. I said, I'm a preacher, and I got to get back next Sunday, so I'm not going to do nothing crazy. And everybody there was on vacation. They're like, man, we just here to have fun. And, man, we were going down the river, and they stopped, and there was this big old, I mean literally a 10-foot drop, level 5, whitewater rafting, and they said, we're going to go down, and you got to buckle down, and when you go over the edge, you got to hold on. Some people get flung out of the boat, but you just hold on. I said, I'm going to get out the boat. That's what I'm going to do. They said, preacher. I said, preacher, nothing. I said, I read the book of Proverbs. I got wisdom. Preacher, nothing. So, I'll never forget. I got out of the boat and they said, well, you can walk up on the bridge and watch it. And so I walk up on the bridge. I see them all getting in the boat. They're all excited. And there was a dude that had to be like 85 years old. I'm thinking he getting out of the boat with me. I'm like, he gonna die. Every bone gonna get broken. That dude was in the back of the boat, happy, smiling. And I remember watching from the bridge. And I'm watching him coming towards me off of that thing. And when they hit that 10-foot drop, I'm like, and man, they're like, whoa, boom, everybody survived. And I'm like, man, they look like they have fun. So I meet them, and I jump back in the boat, and we're going down the river, and the guy says, you know what, we're coming up on a bridge, and it's about 30 to 40 feet high. And he says, what we'll do, we'll stop. And anybody wants to jump off the top of that bridge down in the water, you can do it. So everybody's like, yeah! Proverbs. So I sat there in the boat and I watched everybody go off that bridge. And I remembered this. I came out here to live. I came out here to enjoy life. And if I'm so afraid of losing my life, I'll never live. So I said, got out of the boat. Everybody was getting back in the boat. So where preacher going? Walked up on the bridge, climbed up on the edge. I was like 50 feet up in the air. And I'll never forget what happened. There was a guy standing right here, and I went to get up on the because there's, I mean, it's a ledge. And I went to get up on the ledge, and I got there, and I started to fall back. And I fell back, and the guy caught me. And all I thought about was, that's what the Lord will do. When we decide to go on the mission, God will not let you fall. And he put me back up on the edge. Now, I don't know if God will do that, but but I was standing there, and everybody was like, preacher, preacher, preacher. And I was like, you know, YOLO. Woo! YOLO, baby. Look at your neighbor and say, YOLO. You only live once. Man, I'm so glad I did it. I mean, I learned to live. Ladies and gentlemen, when God puts you on a mission, you only live once. This is your chance to live and enjoy life on a mission, being a part of something bigger than yourselves. We've been talking about what we're trying to do with our church. We need to raise $250,000, but it's not just for that. Over the next couple weeks, guys, I got a guy coming in that's going to tell you about some kids that are in another country, in Dominican Republic and in Kenya. And there are children in an entire village that have no food, have no education, and no water system. And our church wants to be the church that makes a new frontier. Amen. Come on now. We want to help those children. And when he comes, I'm going to ask that maybe you can sponsor a child. Because you know what? These aren't just pictures. These are real people. And we're going to be in contact with them because in October, we're sending out a mission trip to Dominican Republic. And if you haven't signed up, you better sign up because we're going to go see these children and minister to them. Okay? But he's going to be here in just a couple weeks. But we're getting ready to be part of a mission that's bigger than ourselves. We're going to Kenya. We're going to Dominican Republic. Why? Because God said so. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, the real way to worship God is to give it all away. Look at your neighbor and say, give it all up. Look at Romans 12 and 1. I want you to go to Romans 12 and 1. And we want to read it together. Romans 12 and 1. Let's read. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. The kind. This is truly the way. You want to worship God? Give him your life. Give him everything. Don't hold back anything. Give him it all. If you've got he says, love me with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Give him everything. Trust him. That's how you worship him, by giving everything. Oh, I'm running out of time. This is where we discover ourselves is so important. So I'm going to answer the question, how do we find ourselves? How do we find ourselves? Number one, we discover our purpose. That's how we find ourselves. We discover our purpose. That's why I spent so much time, Discover You, talking about purpose. We have to discover our purpose. And there are two questions that help us find our purpose. I want you to understand. Write these two questions down. Number one, what am I passionate about? Write that down. What am I passionate about? What am I passionate about? You see, passion is the great energizer. Passion sets us apart from other people. And then once you figure out what you're passionate about, you got to ask the next question, what are my gifts? What are my gifts? Write that down. What are my gifts? Now, I'm going to prove to you how your gifts should work, okay? When you find out you're passionate about something, that's how you know that's the direction you need to go. Okay? What are you passionate about? And number two, what are your natural gifts? Now, when you find your gifts, you will, number one, write this down, be good at it. When you know it's your gift, you'll be good at it. Okay? We won't be doing anymore, you know, he's got talent. No. You try to sing and you can't sing, that's not your gift. When we started this church, a couple people said, Pastor Lee, we want to help you paint. I said, praise the Lord. We need help. And they went in a room. They picked a color. It was Hulk green. And they painted that wall, and it was butchered. And I realized then, Demita, you can't paint. I'm sorry. You need to preach. Just stick to where your calling is. You'll be good at it. Turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Romans chapter 12, Verse 6. Watch this. Here's how you know you'll be good at it. Watch this. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things what?
Well.
Certain things what?
Well.
That's how you know that's your gift. If it ain't working out, it ain't your gift. Amen? Real simple. If you don't do it well, it probably ain't your gift. God, watch this. Look at what it says. God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Okay? Number two, you will have an opportunity to use it. Write that down. Opportunity to use it. If God's called you with a gift, he'll open up an opportunity for you to use it. Like we're doing this. Some of you have the ability to minister to children. We need people in the kids department. We need teachers there. And if you are a good teacher, why are you holding back from helping children? You're good at it. And here's your opportunity. Do it today. On your connection card, write it down. Maybe you're good on you don't like anything dirt. Anybody don't like dirt? Anybody don't? Just do not like nasty stuff. Anybody? Raise your hand. Amen. Everybody else likes nasty stuff. I see you. Okay. Nasty. If you like cleaning and you're good at that, you need to be part of our clean team that's willing to go and serve God every weekend and not complain about who ain't cleaning, but you say, God, I'm doing this for you. This is my gift. I'm good at it. And it's my service to you. And if you are one of those people, I want you to put on a connection card. Hey, I want to serve on the clean team. I want to help this church look good every weekend. There's a place for you. Look what he says. He says, God, opportunity to use it. 1 Peter 4 and 10. Let's go there. I'm running out of time. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them what? To serve one another. Meaning if God's giving you the ability to clean, it ain't to serve yourself. Serve one another. You have something to offer people in this room. Turn to somebody and say, what can I offer you? Turn to the other side and say, what can I offer you? Now here's the truth. Here's how you know you're walking in your gifting. You will be energized by it. You'll be excited. See, I know my gift. I love praying for people. I love preaching. I don't love preaching. I love talking about Jesus. I'm not a preacher. I just love talking about Jesus. Okay, thank you. I'm energized. Okay, let me show you how this works. Go to Isaiah 58 and 10. Here's what the word of God says concerning how to energize you. Isaiah 55, 58 and 10. 10. Bente. Is that right? Diaz. Not 20. You tell I'm not Spanish. 58 and 10. I do look a little Cuban, but that's 8, 9. Now we got it. All right. Come on, give him a hand. You will be energized by your gift. Look at this. Isaiah 58 and 10 says what? Feed the hungry. Help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. Verse 11. The
Lord will guide you
continually. Watch this. Whoa, 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 whoa. He will guide you continually doing what? Giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. When you give, God will re-energize you, strengthen you when you let your gift go. Some of you are suffering from way too much depression. Why? Because you're holding on to all your gifts. But the way that you get re-energized is do something for somebody else. Come on, amen. Whenever I feel bad, I just go out and buy somebody donuts and just seeing a smile on their face. After they give me one. Look at this. You will be like a well-watered, like an ever-flowing. Wow. So then how do we lose ourselves as I close? How do we lose? That's how you find yourself. But how do you lose yourself? You lose yourself by giving your purpose to something bigger than you. Bigger than you. Here's the truth, guys. When you are bigger than your purpose, you have a career. When you are bigger than your purpose, you have a career. But when your purpose is bigger than you, you have a calling. When you are bigger than your purpose, you have a career. But when your purpose is bigger than you, ladies and gentlemen, you have a calling. Go to Matthew chapter 4 and 18 and 19. And then after this, we'll only have two verses and then we're done. Matthew 4 and 18. Here's what it says. One day Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water. For they fished for a living. That was a career. Do you hear me? They fished for a living. Verse 19. And Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." He called them to a purpose that was bigger than themselves. It was a calling. Here's a truth, two truths. I want you to write these down. Success is when I add value to myself. Success is when I add value to myself. But hear me when I say this. Significance is when I add value to others. Yeah, you got the home, the car, you got the career. That's success. But significance lies in when you add value to other people. I need you to understand, as we close and being on a mission, being a part of something bigger than yourselves, we'll close with Romans 12, 4 and 5. And here's what it says. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part have a special function. Verse 5. So it is with Christ's body. Read with me. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong. Don't you hold back what you have from me. Would you stand to your feet?